agree with that.
Caroline's here. She's in the office. Amen. 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 Welcome. Welcome. Let's see if this is working. Reminder on Iron Sharpens Iron, the sign-up sheets out there, we have to be registered by the 14th, which is a week from Sunday, a week from Monday, following Monday. So I'll need to know who's going to go.
I can't make it this year.
You're working?
It's not work. I can take off work. Maureen and Emily have to go down to the island for a wedding, and I got to watch the dogs.
Oh. Yeah, but it's nice weather. Leave the dog in the backyard.
No. You can steal dogs. Steal dogs, eat big holes.
Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Let's open with a word of prayer. Have the Lord touch and minister. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy for this day. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth as you've promised. We look to you for wisdom. We look to you for clarity. In Jesus' name, be with those yet on their way. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Pastor, I was watching, there's a fella on YouTube that has four-part series. Anyway, he does all these, what you're doing.
Yeah.
But he takes like 2 hours to do it, so I have to speed it up. Anyway, he's very thorough, and he goes through, you know, the number of times in the Bible, the sevens and the four.
Yes.
Well, but what got me was he's going over in Daniel, maybe chapter 9, I don't know the chapters very well, but anyway, it's where you have the week, and then you have the 3.5, and then the 3.5.
Yep.
And actually says the first 3.5 was actually Jesus' ministry.
Was the first. That's what he said?
3.5. And then you have the 40 jubilees, or 40 jubilees, mm-hmm. I believe, to get us to where we are now. And then there's only that last 3.5 years to go.
So he's a little confused on the 70th week.
Well, when you read, if I can find it.
Because when you read Daniel, the 70th week is very, very plain. Because it comes after the 69th week. Isn't that brilliant?
Makes sense to me.
Well, the reason I said that is the gentleman he's talking about says that there is an interlude between the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. Daniel doesn't say that. Daniel says, after the 69th week, you have the 70th week. And it's all the 70th week.
Which chapter? Is it chapter 12?
It's chapter 13 in the book of Revelation.
No, I mean in Daniel.
In Daniel, I'm finding it right now.
Is it 9? Yeah, I thought it was 9, but
I'll find it here in a second. Give me a second. Know forth, 25th verse of chapter 9. Know therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
Yeah, the crucifixion.
Yes, but that is all part of the 69th week. It's not part of the 70th week. Okay, you'll see that in a minute. Okay, so, but not for himself, and the people of the prince shall come, shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof, we know that's what Rome did, shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That happens after the Messiah is cut off. See? So you can't have the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry and then 3.5 years with an interlude in between. Not according to Daniel. Keep in mind a very, very, very important principle out of the Word of God is God, in regards to its calendar, in regards, we're going to talk about this Sunday, in regards to his calendar, in regards to his dating, is extremely specific.
Now, he said some other things. He said after Jesus was crucified, when they had the sacrificial goat and the scapegoat, and they cast lots to see which is which, it always went to the left hand.
Yeah.
That's you heard that?
I know about it. Yes, in the town.
And then there's a door that's supposed to be closed.
The Heckel gate, yeah.
The door would open every night. It would open on its own. The thread, the scarlet thread that would turn white, never turned white after that.
That was for the 40 years from his crucifixion to 70 AD.
And the other thing there in the lampstand, there were certain lights that were for certain times. Now the other lights were to be always on, and no matter what they did to fill it with oil and everything, those lights kept going off. You ever heard?
No, I haven't heard that.
Stories.
I haven't heard that. The perpetual lighting of the menorah is from the Maccabean period. It isn't even from the Old Testament period. It's from the Maccabean period, which in our Bible we don't have any reference to.
But in the tabernacle, didn't they have the lamps?
Yeah, they had the lampstand. They had the burning of the incense. They had the table of showbread, the candlestick, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, and they had the altar. Yeah.
Wasn't Moses' rod in there too?
That was inside the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. Which is probably a good thing we don't know and have it right now, right?
Well,
think of what a God that would be.
Here's another guy.
Yeah, you got to be careful with these guys on the internet, Joel.
Everything he says is all written down 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
There's a fellow named Ron Wyatt. Now, he seems to be, he discovers things like Noah's Ark and the temple.
So he discovered Noah's Ark? He ought to be a real important person.
He claims he's got the whole story, and he claims that it's in a cave.
That's one gigantic cave.
It's very hard to get in there.
Oh yeah.
There's a little chamber in there.
Oh yeah.
Full of dirt and everything.
Yeah.
But he says it was in there, and it's directly above where Jesus was crucified.
So
Jesus' blood went down through the rock.
Yeah.
And was in.
Well, you know how you really understand how fictitious that is, right? Because Noah wasn't anywhere near Jerusalem when the ark stopped.
No, this isn't the ark. This is, he finds different things.
Or is he talking about the Ark of the Covenant?
Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, okay.
He's got another one where the Red Sea, he's found the chariot from the Red Sea. And,
but anyway. I've actually read that, and I believe that.
The trouble is, it's in the wrong sea. You have to go all the way across the peninsula there to get to the. But anyway, and he claims that the blood is still there. He had it tested. It only has the female chromosomes. It doesn't have the male. The only thing that, and it's believable until he's SDA. And he said to this angel that was in the room, what's the mark of the beast? And the angel said, it's going to church on Sunday.
Well, they're big on prophecy. That's where they put their anchor. The Seventh-day Adventists put their anchor in prophecy. That's what their claim to fame is. And it's, you know, it's like I was talking with an Assembly of God pastor today, and he said, well, he's got some real weird beliefs, but he said, well, one thing for sure is we're all going to know what's right and what's wrong in a little bit.
Well, that's, according to his timeline, it's 2024 is when things are going to start happening.
And how long have so-called prophetic ministries in the church been dating the coming of the Lord?
Since Jesus died on the cross.
it's a real, you know, Joel, it's a real common thing. He's going to come at such a time. He's going to come at such a time. The Antichrist was Trump's son-in-law. You've got the devil is Trump. Huh?
Obama.
Yeah, the beast and the Antichrist are the same thing. So you can't separate Jesus' ministry and the last part of the tribulation period and have an interval between them according to Daniel. He doesn't allow that. He says it's 1 week and that ends up everything. That is the end of everything. When that week ends, then no more will man control his destiny except for a very short period of time at the end of the millennial reign of Christ when the devil's let loose. And we don't know how much time there will be there. But from the time that Jesus returns and sets his foot on Mount Olives at the end of the tribulation period to the new heavens and the new earth, man is not again in control of anything. Except for that brief period at the end of the millennial reign of Christ when they decide to attack God himself. Now remember, that attack is not against Israel. That attack is against God. Because God has set up his kingdom and the capital is Jerusalem. And they'll want to destroy Jerusalem. See? And we find that in the end of the book of Revelation. I got my big Bible so I can see. Thank you, Xiao Yang. This is wonderful. I love it too much. It's way too good. All right. All right. Oh, that's the end of the tribulation period. That's pretty cool. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army, you and I. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. I love that verse. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him who sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all fowls were filled with their flesh. I saw an angel, chapter 20, come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Ha, 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 ha. Great. You know, I believe the key and the chain were symbolic. Because when God says bind Satan, then nothing Satan can do. Nothing. He can bind him with the word of his power. Right? Cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. He must be loosed a little season. Now the little season here is the same as a short time in the Greek that's found in chapter 12, verse 12. And a short space of time that's found in 17:10. Okay? So we don't know how long that will be. Nobody knows. He said it's a short time. Okay? And then it'll be loose for that season. And then we have the thrones and those that sat on the thrones. And when the 1,000 years, verse 7, were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. That simply means you can't count them. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and encompass the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, Jerusalem, the saints, the Jews, and fire came down from heaven out of came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Not even going to be a battle, just going to be a zapping. That's going to be pretty cool. Hollywood thinks it's got it on special effects. That will be special effects. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's where it ends.
So you're reading the King James.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what Paul read. No, that's because the Bible I'm using is only in the King James. Dake's Bible. I do have my Bible up here, which is the new King James.
It's called the marijuana.
And the ESV is not out yet in study Bibles. So I can't get it. But I will get it in June when it comes out, June or July.
It doesn't come out.
Why? You don't like the ESV?
There's only one Bible.
What's that?
The King James.
Oh, yes. I felt that. Started right at the top of my head, goes down the bottom. My feet make me tingle all over. Yeah. See, this says basically the same thing.
Yeah. That shot. Is that shot?
Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. New King James, will go out to deceive the nations which are on the four corners of the earth. Says basically the same thing. Okay? Now, according to Revelation chapter 13 and Daniel 9:27, which we read, the covenant that the beast signs with Israel is for 7 years. Okay? Do you have these notes on the Revelation, on the tribulation period, Amanda? It says they're titled the tribulation period. And we're on page 5 of those notes. Make sure you have them. You have them, Xiao Yang?
Yeah.
Good. Good, good, good. You don't have those? Well, guess what? Guess what? I can take care of that right now.
You're going to get them.
I can take care of those right now.
Thank you.
And we're on page 5. Yeah. How's the dog?
He's okay.
He is?
He's plugging along. He's 15 now.
He's 15 now. Oh. All right. According to Revelation chapter 13... and Daniel 9:27, the covenant that the beast signs with Israel is a covenant for 7 years, 1 week. Okay? But in the middle of the week, he breaks that covenant. The beast breaks the covenant. Now, he offers a sacrifice, or he puts a stop to sacrifice. He does something that desecrates the temple of the Lord. Now, Revelation 13 explains that the beast will place an image of himself in the temple and require the world to worship it. Revelation 13:5, and he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Okay? You see that? Okay? All right. Then in the middle of the week, Daniel 7:25, he shall speak words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law. He shall be given into his hands a times, times, and half a time. So, it has always been the devil's plan to put an end to anything that comes from God. Anything. And everything that happens in the temple, according to Leviticus 23, and that would be a good chapter to study, Leviticus 23, anything that has to do with the worship, the feasts, and any sacrifices in the temple, he wants to do away with. So he'll oppress God's people for a time, times, and a half a time. Time is 1 year, time 2 years, and a half for 3.5 years. This time of oppression against the Jews is described in verses 5 through 7 of Revelation 13. And we call it the Great Tribulation. The tribulation period, 7 years. The Great Tribulation, 3.5 years. The latter half of the tribulation period. Joel, Revelation 13, 5 through 8.
And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemes against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain.
So, he's going to be a bad dude. He just doesn't have it against Israel, and he just doesn't have it against anyone who will not worship his image. He has it against the entire world. He's going to dominate, according to verse 7, he's going to dominate everything. Now, back the book up to Revelation chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. So he's going to be in Jerusalem, making fun of God for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, the devil won't be able to do anything against the two witnesses. So there are the two witnesses and 144,000 Jews, Israelis, that God will seal, and to which the 144,002 will not be able to be touched by the Antichrist and the false prophet. Okay? 1,260 days, 42 months, that equals 3.5 years, using the prophetic year, which is 360 days. Remember, for the Old Testament, the year was 360 days, not 365 days, which is what it is for us. Daniel 12, verses 11 through 12, speak of 1,290 days, and 1,335 days from the midpoint of the tribulation. So, time after time, the tribulation period is called a judgment of the nations. You will find that in Matthew chapter 25. And a time of the setting up of Christ's millennial kingdom, which is found in Revelation chapter 20. 7 year period at the end of humanity's decadence, humanity's depravity. I was on Facebook, and I think it was it you, Peter, that had the hand with a...
Yeah, 12 weeks old.
12-week-old baby, yeah. And it looked just like a baby that had been born. Yeah, and there are, every state in the union allows those to be aborted at 12 weeks. I was talking with an Assembly of God pastor today.
Arizona and Florida don't.
They don't?
6 weeks. 6 weeks.
I was talking with an Assembly of God pastor today, and these are fearful times. These are fearful times. We have an administration that is pulling back from Israel. And if that happens, then get ready for judgment to be poured out on the United States of America. Because the only thing that's sparing us right now is our support of Israel and our evangelization of the world. But the church in America has turned more inward than it's ever been turned inward before. And when it begins to turn inward on itself, you know that the coming of the Lord is close. And then when you see a country that has, it has not been a question to support of Israel. If Reagan were in the White House, this garbage in Colombia would not be happening. But we have things being allowed that I would have never dreamed could ever be allowed. And that means God will judge. Because God says, I'll defend the innocent. There's nothing more innocent than a fetus. Nothing more innocent than a fetus. I've never been pregnant. Of course, I guess I could identify as a pregnant woman if I wanted to. But I've never been pregnant, can never get pregnant. But Leah was pregnant. And she protected that baby. It was instinctive, was it not? To protect, was it not, Jenny? To protect that Xiaoying, right? It was instinctive that if you were falling, you were protecting the pregnancy. If anything you were doing, you were protecting the pregnancy. It was instinctive. And believe you me, if God put that instinct in a woman, think how incredibly powerful that is in the heart of God. And he'll have to judge us. He'll have to. I keep remembering what David Wilkerson said in the vision. Financial collapse in the United States of America that's going to make the Great Depression look like a mild recession. And I mean, second grade math tells you that we can't keep spending like we are and live to tell it. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know what God told David Wilkerson, and I know what he shared with my heart, that in the midst of it all, those who obey the word of God will be covered and protected. He will not allow those of us who are obedient to his word to fall victim to his judgment on the unrighteous. Remember, it will be his judgment on the unrighteous, not his judgment on the righteous. Because the righteous are judged at Calvary in the blood of Jesus when they confess their sin. And there is no more judgment for them. Our judgment after Calvary is not a judgment for sin, it's a judgment for the works done in the flesh. So when you repent and ask God to forgive you of your sin, you no longer are subject to any judgment for sin. Your sin is gone. How do you judge something that's gone? You can't. It doesn't exist anymore. Okay? Any questions about that?
I heard that put in perspective today.
Yes.
The only innocent person ever to be judged by God is Jesus Christ, his son.
I can't. Oh, let's put it this way. It was not a judgment by God. Okay? Because remember, Jesus voluntarily went to the cross. Jesus became the Lamb of God for what purpose? To blot out sin once and for all. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You had to shed blood every time you turned around. Right? You had to shed lambs, turtle doves, pigeons, oxen, cattle, calves, goats. Sorry, Caroline. They had to be. They had to be. They had to be. They had to be sacrificed in order for the sin to be blotted out. God devised within the Trinity a plan involving all three of the Trinity to take care of sin once and for all and to do away with it. So Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the shame and became obedient to the death of the cross. So he submitted to death, which was natural because he was a man, right? God did not have to kill him. Pilate took care of that. The cross took care of that. What God did is turn his back on him because he couldn't look on sin. But that was short-lived, right? Because he's in the grave for 3.5 for 3 days and 3 nights. And during those 3 days and 3 nights, he's pretty busy. Because the Bible says he descends into hell. He leads captivity captive. He takes the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan's belt. And he ascends. And he says to the women that came to anoint him, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. I'm not yet glorified." But when he comes back and appears to the disciples in the upper room, he allows Thomas to touch him. So he's been glorified. So it would have to be for me, now it's just a case of semantics, but it would have to be for me a real stretch to say that God judged him. No, God judged my sin in Christ. It was me that was judged in Christ. Okay? Because how does God judge himself? And there's no way that you can't say that the Son of God did not die on the cross, because he did. He was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man. He was 100% that and 100% this. See? It was a plan. Howbeit, I will agree, a plan very difficult to comprehend and understand. So I just choose to believe it. Isn't that the simplest way? I just choose to believe it. Other questions? All right, let's continue. Now, let's read some more scripture here. John 16:33. Yes, please.
That last verse 7 says, "Also it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them."
Mm-hmm.
Did he conquer the saints?
The Jews. The Israel before it to conquer them, he had to obligate them to submit to him. For him to get the signature on the 7-year covenant.
Okay?
He's going to conquer everybody. That conquering is not necessarily a negative thing. Okay? To conquer means to bring under subjection, bring under his rule. And you may do it voluntarily or you may not do it voluntarily. See, Hannaford has conquered Peter. For a few hours every week. That's because Peter allows and agreed to be conquered. See? So that's a little different. Probably the word conquered is not the best word to use there. What does the New King James say? Let me look. What does the NIV say? That's in the pew there. Huh? I know.
You're killing me.
I know, Joel. Just grin and bear it.
What's the reference again?
It's Revelation chapter 13, verse 7.
Well, actually, in verse 8, it says, he's talking about the people whose name has not been written.
Yeah, those who are not saved.
Ungodly,
yeah. See, so 13:7 says in the New King James, overcome them. Overcome them. You can overcome somebody without doing them any harm.
I guess it's the word saints is throwing me off.
Well, saints in the book of Revelation is Israel. Because he's dealing with Israel. From the fourth chapter on, he's dealing with Israel. Well, really, chapters 1-3. He deals with Israel too, because remember, the gospel was taken first to the Israelis, and then to the Gentiles. Okay? When Paul went to establish a church, he always started in every single city in the synagogue. That's where he always started. Why? Because that's what Jesus commanded. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? He said, you shall be witnesses unto me in what? Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Okay? So the first three parts have to do with Israel. And then the last part has to do with you and I. Okay? So what does the NIV say?
No, it's, my Bible says overcome, and I think this is the New King James Version.
I know, the New King. What does the NIV say? Someone have it there in front?
The ESV says conquer.
Conquer? Yeah. Bring under subjection is what it actually means. Revelation chapter 13.
Given power to wage war against God's holy people and conquer them.
And conquer them, yeah. So in the original language, it's better translated conquer, but it's not that sense that we think of when we think of someone's conquered. Someone can be conquered and they will surrender. Right?
Well, given power makes more sense too.
Yeah. When you say to somebody, do you want to fight? And they say, yeah, I'll fight you. And then they get on the playground and they say, I give up. Who won the fight? The one that challenged them to the fight. Who lost the fight? The one that gave up. But there was no bloodshed. There was no conquering. There was a surrender. But the one that won will say, I beat him. And that sounds negative. That sounds like there was an exchange of blows when there wasn't. Okay? Does that make sense? Now remember, if you're going to study any part of the tribulation period and the end of times and God's plan to restore Israel, remember, all the promises that have to do with the second coming have to do with the restoration and the glorification of Israel and God's people, because God's covenant will be fulfilled. Is that clear? And God's covenant is with his people, correct? Rich, can you close that door for me? And then they can yell all they want down there. Does that make sense? See? Because remember, God's covenant is not with you and I except by the cross. The cross neither affirms the covenant with Israel, nor does it negate the covenant with Israel. The covenant with Israel by God, given to Abraham, is not affected by the cross. The cross brings you and I into the covenant. Glory to God. But it does not affect Israel. Just because an Israeli will not accept Jesus as their Savior does not mean that they cease to be God's people. They're still God's people. They're not a Christian, but they're God's people. Does that make sense? Okay? That's why I consider them to be, of all people, most privileged. I would love to be able to say, I'm God's people. Now, spiritually, I can. But not blood and not flesh. Okay? Zephaniah 3, read that chapter. And read Isaiah chapter 12 and Isaiah chapter 35. And that will give you an idea. God is talking about the restoration of Israel. Right? Now he's going to restore mankind to their original reason for which they were created. Now remember, Adam and Eve were not Israelis. They were not Jews. They were not Gentiles. They were human beings, period. Correct? Because there were no anthropological differences in groups of people. They didn't exist. Okay?
They didn't have a father or a father, but they didn't have a
No, they didn't have a father. They were created by God. So they weren't pro-created by God. They were created by God. Right? I was procreated. You were procreated. They were created. So there was no need for a Savior before they sinned. There was no need for a covenant before they sinned. The covenant was a result of their sin. Paul makes that very clear. I'm having a great time reading the first book of Corinthians and the second book of Corinthians. It's just fantastic. And after you get done Romans and you get into 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you begin to understand God's idea when he's talking about his people and his covenant. See, God's covenant is based on God's word. How important is the word of God? How important is the word of God? Most important if it's synonymous with Jesus himself. And the word became flesh, and the word was flesh. See, Jesus is the word is Jesus. It's very important. God's covenant is very important. That's why he says he cannot break it. Has Israel done enough for God to break the covenant with them? Yes, they have. Yeah, they've done enough. Yeah, they rejected Jesus as Messiah. That's enough for him to break the covenant. He won't break the covenant because the covenant's based on his word and his character. But they've done enough to be judged. Just take time to analyze the 40 years in the wilderness. It's not just an exhibition of God's mercy, but it's an exhibition of the foolishness of man's heart. Because one moment they're serving God, the next moment they're rejecting God. Then they're obeying God, and then they're rejecting God. Right? So, his covenant is perfect, and his covenant will be fulfilled. That's the reason this has to happen. Because he has to bring Israel back into a covenant relationship. You and I have a covenant relationship with God through the blood and through the cross. Amen? And he has to bring Israel back into that covenant relationship, which they've strayed away from. Okay? Other questions? You had another question on that one, Joel? Does that make sense? See? I have said these things to you. I like this verse. Don't like what it says, but I like the verse. Does that make sense? John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. I like that part. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Did that happen? Is that still happening? All over the world. On our prayer list, we've got praying for Pakistan and China. We should have India on there. We should have many countries on there. Countries that will not accept the gospel and are anti-gospel, and because of that, they persecute all those who are of the gospel. When did that persecution start? When Jesus rose from the dead. That's when it started. Because there was nothing that the world and the devil wanted to allow to exist. No reason to allow them to exist. Because they are part of God himself. Okay? But then he warns that great tribulation. Now there's tribulation, then there's great tribulation. The tribulation he's talking about here is because of him. Right? The tribulation he's talking about in Matthew 24 and Revelation 3:10 is because of sin. Two different things. Let's see here. It is, whose turn to read? Peter? Matthew 24:21 and Revelation 3:10.
Well, then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world up until now, no, and never will be.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth.
Mm.
And we always read Revelation 3:10.
Yep.
Let's read Revelation 2:10.
What's Revelation 2:10 say? Huh?
No, read it. Seriously.
I will. I got it right here. 2:10. Fear not those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Has that happened?
Yes.
I've got many friends.
Me?
Yeah. Orson Billa. I was cast into prison. That ye may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. You shall have tribulation 10 days. All right, let me see here. That's an interesting way to put it, because the tribulation period is not 10 days.
Well,
nor is the first 3.5 years 10 days.
No, but in Isaiah it says, "Hide yourselves away for 10 days till the indignation's passed over." So
yeah, and Isaiah was written to whom?
Yeah, but the point is, it's just a figure of speech, a short.
Correct. Term. Yeah, but remember who Isaiah was written to, right?
Yeah, but we're talking about the juxtaposition.
Yeah, he.
3:10 and 2:10.
That's right. That's right.
So there is.
I can't use Isaiah to say that the Gentile Christians will be tried 10 days.
Oh, I didn't. It's just a figure of speech.
Correct. 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 Okay? He is faithful unto death will have the crown of life. A promise for all. I'm trying to think. I've got another Bible, but it's not out here. Okay? To look that up.
I have all the versions. What do you want?
No, it's a study Bible. Okay. So it has notes in it.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I know. Thank you, though. Your offer. I appreciate it. Okay, then. The tribulation period is God's judgment of the unbelieving world. Okay? Zechariah 13:8-9 and 12:10-11, Leah.
In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 shall be cut off and perish, and 1/3 shall be left alive. And I will put this third in the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon me, my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. On that day the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning for Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo.
Wow. Ginny, Jeremiah 30:7.
Alas.
And Romans 11.
Alas, this day is so great, there is none like it. There is a time of distress for Jacob, yet he shall be saved out of it. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in. And in the way all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers.
I love the way Paul puts it. Because he says this all has to do with Israel. And he's writing to the church in Rome. And you got to know the church in Rome has Gentiles in it, right?
Yes.
But he's talking about Israel. And Jeremiah calls it a time of distress for Jacob. What is Jacob's other name?
Israel.
This all has to do with the Jews. And let's read Matthew 24, 21 through 22, Caroline Ziak.
For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, it never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days would be cut short.
So when were the days cut short? When God planned it. They won't be cut short at the time they are happening. They were cut short when God planned them. Otherwise, he would be a liar if he says it's going to be 7 weeks. 7 days. 7 years. Right? He said, if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days were cut short. We know that the elect is Israel. Then he returns. Look at what Matthew tells us in Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Let's see, Peter, have you read?
Yes.
You have? Amanda!
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all of the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Now the problem we have with this one in regards to the rapture of the church is that everybody on earth sees him. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, only we see him. So we've got something happening here, which is going to be interesting to see how the Lord's going to work all this out, right? Right? I'm not going to go so far to say that I'm almighty right and everybody else is almighty wrong. No. No. I talked it with this Assembly of God pastor today. No, it's going to be fun when we find out who was right and who was wrong. Do you think we'll care?
No.
Nobody's going to care.
Because we'll be in glory.
Yeah. We'll have a glorified body.
We'll be glorified.
Yeah. It will be fantastic. Questions? No questions? No questions, Joel? Xiao Yang? Oh man, Xiao Yang. You can come up with at least one. No, that's okay. That's okay. Amen. Amen. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer. Let me shut this off.